Welcome back to the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast. My name is Jeremy Devins, and we're going to look at the lunar eclipse now from March 25th, 2024, and 24-25, depending where you are in the world. If you want to know how this affects you personally, get your free birth chart at quietmindastrology.com. And you can also schedule a reading there to go more in detail, because how this affects you is really going to depend a lot on your dasha, transits, and other planets that you're going through right now. But it is a big decision point for all of us in this eclipse. So 10 things to consider in this lunar eclipse is, of course, stay open to change and transformation. This is a big portal of transformation. Just want to avoid any major decisions on the actual dates of the eclipse, but around this time, big change is happening, and specifically what that means for you, you're going to know intuitively, but it also does depend on other transits and just what you know needs to change in your life. You want to reflect on any areas of your life that need closure or release. This is the time to complete things and let things go. The culmination, the full moon. So time to set intentions for new beginnings and fresh starts over the next 2 weeks, still in this eclipse portal. But really, especially in 2 weeks when we get to the new moon. Practice self-care and prioritize your emotional well-being. Don't do anything too much to push yourself in a way that doesn't feel aligned, and do things that nourish you and nurture you. Stay grounded and centered during these times. There's often a lot of uncertainty and feelings of what next, what should I do? There's a sense that you know something needs to change. So anything you can do to stay grounded and centered is going to help, like meditating, feet on the earth, grounding foods, root vegetables, slow yoga practice, weightlifting. These things are all good. Number 6 is be mindful of your communication and avoid any misunderstandings, which are inevitable at this time, but you may need to rehash things or discuss things at a slower pace than you might like, and make sure that things are clear and addressed. Number 7 is embrace flexibility and adaptability in your plans, knowing that you may need to change things in a way you did not expect or may not exactly want it to be that way, but this adaptable energy is very important during this, because things are changing and not as always in your control. Number 8, trust your intuition and your inner guidance. Astrology is a great resource and thing to bounce ideas and inspiration off. And any divination tool is great. Anybody's advice is great, but it all has to defer to your inner guidance and intuition. Nobody can replace that, and you wouldn't want that anyway. Number 9 is release any old patterns or habits that no longer serve you. Easier said than done, but if you know a pattern is not working, it's helpful to maybe replace it with something else and find something you could do instead. And then number 10 is use the energy of eclipses for personal growth and spiritual development. And it may be this sense of ego take over in the eclipse, and you're like, you want this and you're going to have it. And that part can grasp at things. And if there's a sense of grasping or needing to have it a certain way and control, be aware of that, and maybe there's more of a surrendered, relaxed, easy, allowing kind of approach that leads to more personal growth and spiritual growth, and things like meditation, spiritual practice. Time in nature is very favorable on these days, especially on the date. It's a good day to just do spiritual, personal growth kind of practices. Now I'm going to go through all the 12 signs of the zodiac next. You want to listen for your rising and moon sign, both, to best understand this. On the bottom, if you're watching the video, I'll be showing the charts. And if you know people as well, it's really helpful to know friends and their rising and moon signs. And you can listen to the parts of the episode for them, and then know what's going on and the changes they're going through in their life. So first, Aries rising and moon. Number 1 is the time to focus on your work and your daily routines and improve things around your health and wellness. So the work life, the things you're doing in your daily life, like through your work, what are you in the environment of, and what can you do to improve that, and what kind of things need more attention there? It's a good time to put attention on them. And attention to details and organization. So are there any systems or processes you need to put in place or optimize? Number three is refining any skills and seeking practical solutions to problems. Is there a skill you want to develop or thing you want to learn for yourself, particularly around your work or around your health? Number four, practical approach to challenges at work. Now, the Aries approach is to go fast and headstrong into things, but this time may be more beneficial to be a little more practical and grounded and organized in how you approach things. Number five is there's a strong urge to be productive, which could be very, very productive and get a lot done. Could also be a little overwhelming and burnout. So direct that energy intentionally. Number six, pay attention to your health and well-being. It's a good time to put extra attention on the basics of health, of course. Ayurvedic kind of approach in the same origins of Jyotish is to focus on your sleep, your diet, your exercise, sunlight, water, the basic things before adding any supplements or drugs or anything like that. And that will often go a long way, but it's important to just put extra attention there now. Number seven, analyze your work processes. Is it working? Is it not working? Is there something that needs to change? How's your schedule? Do you like it? Do you like your work-life balance? Number eight, setting new goals for personal growth. And this is a great time to reevaluate the direction you're on and what you want to be creating, especially in 2 weeks when we get to the solar eclipse. There'll be a lot of forward momentum into the next 6 months of what you want to begin. Number nine is seek efficiency in tasks. Is there any way you can automate, systemize, or delegate things that you do, or just get rid of them? Make your life more simple and direct and more efficient. Number 10, find joy in the small accomplishments. So celebrating little things. Aries energy is often quick onto the next thing, but this is a good time, especially around the 25th, to just take in and celebrate what you've accomplished. Moving on to the Taurus rising and moon. This is the time to highlight your creativity and your self-expression. Now, is there a creative project or pursuit you want to go deeper in? This is a great time to come back to that, go deeper with it. Any sort of creative output like content creation, media, art, entertainment, great time for being expressed and sharing those things. Number two is pursuing passions and hobbies. What do you love to do? What do you want to do? What have you maybe fallen out of connection with that you want to get deeper into and pursue with more passion? Number three is engaging in artistic activities. Anything artistic and creative, music, theater, dance, painting, drawing, great time to reconnect to that. Number four, sharing your talents with others. This might be just on social media, posting about it, or maybe a performance or an exhibit. Number five, nurturing your creative projects. So is there something that you used to do that you want to kind of come back to or go deeper with, or something that lights you up? And when you do it, you feel the sense of fulfillment. Number six, seeking inspiration from your surroundings, particularly for Taurus in nature and beautiful environments and going to like luxury spas and hotels or luxury restaurants. Fine dining, these kind of things can be very inspiring and invigorating. Number seven is embracing new forms of self-expression, finding new ways to express. Like maybe you try podcasting, you've never done it before, or you try painting or crocheting or fashion design in a way you've never done before, or a new way of dressing up or jewelry or things like this that you've never tried. Number eight, connecting with your inner creativity. Of course, this deep part of yourself that wants to express itself. Number nine, exploring different art forms and artistic ways of living and being, not just actual art, but in your home, like interior design and in the gardening and bringing in more nature into your home, in your food, in your cooking. Number 10 is finding joy in any artistic pursuits. So just celebratory kind of energy there. Next, we have the Gemini rising and moon. This is a time to focus on your impact on communication and learning and your way of communicating and how you want to express yourself. And is there something that you need to say that you haven't said, or a conversation to have, or maybe just a playful way of communicating, like connecting with a friend and just sending jokes and just getting each other laughing. Also learning and maybe exploring something that you want to learn, like taking a new training or a new course. It's very favorable around this time. Number two, there's a desire to expand knowledge. Any direction, any field, there's a lot of curiosity with Gemini, of course. So anything you're curious about, great time to be learning and going deeper with this. Number three is expressing your ideas. So is there a vision that you have that you want to communicate to others? And if you are a leader in some form, communicating that with your team and for yourself, envisioning your future and expressing those ideas, and then maybe turning those ideas into projects and into action. Number four is engaging in any intellectual pursuits. Anything you want to learn, again, is a great time for education and maybe studying a topic or reading books or taking courses. Number five is connecting through meaningful conversations. Great time to just drop in with friends and go out to dinner, have these like deeper, fun, meaningful conversations. Number six is seeking clarity in communication. So being more direct of what you want and who you are and what you want to express, and being more curious and direct in your curiosity. Like if there's something you want to say to someone, not holding back. Number seven, exploring new learning opportunities and maybe some new path that you haven't explored before. Not just things that you've already learned, but some new ideas. Number eight, sharing your knowledge with others. Not just learning for yourself, but sharing things you've learned, like maybe sharing a training you've taken or a book that you've really found inspiring with a friend, or especially another Gemini rising and moon. Number nine, enhancing your writing or speaking skills during this time. So great time for doing any creative writing or presenting. Number 10, embracing curiosity and exploration of anything. This is a wonderful time to just explore what you love and who you are and what interests you. Next, we'll look at Cancer rising and moon. So number one, this is a time to focus on your family and your home life. So is there some sort of home project you want to improve, or family matters to address? It can include your pets, can include your family of origin or your chosen family of connections, and anything that needs to be addressed there, or just connection and attention there, can be really nurturing and nourishing at this time. Number two, creating a harmonious environment, and that could include like improving the interior design, getting plants, reorganizing, rearranging the house, just making things feel nice and fresh again for the new season. Number three is nurturing relationships with loved ones, having long phone calls, just having a kind of open-ended time together, going out to restaurants, things like that. Number four, addressing your emotional issues. And this could be through therapy or meditation, or just expressing yourself emotionally in a way that is like a alchemizing, healing kind of way. Number five, seeking comfort and security, ideally internally first, not just externally. Externally can only reflect what is internally created. So this might mean like having time with yourself in meditation or in spiritual practice to create a sense of connection to self and nurturing of self, and defining what comfort and security is for you internally rather than needing it externally. Number six, spending quality time with family. Of course, always favorable for Cancers, but making the extra time and maybe having a whole day, just time with family, time to connect, time to share. Number seven, strengthening your emotional bonds and connecting on a more meaningful level. Like you might have a connection with your parents that is a little more superficial, but this time could be favorable to go deeper and ask what's really going on. Number eight, finding solace in familiar surroundings. So if you feel a little out of sorts or unclear of direction, this could be really helpful to just be in places that feel familiar, and that word comes from family, so this could be your family. It also could be a place in nature you really like, or just laying in bed and just relaxing, lounging around, or your favorite place to be in your home. It could feel really nurturing and like a place to reflect and get clarity and direction of what's changing in your life. Number 9, good time for reflecting on your childhood memories, going into the past and maybe looking through photo books or watching old home videos and just kind of connecting to that old family part of yourself, the old or family or not, or old part of yourself, younger part, and what you can learn from that and gain perspective. Number 10, building a supportive home life. Now this might mean rearranging things. If you have a roommate that's not working, changing that, or if you have a living situation that's not working, changing that. And if it is working, improving upon it. Maybe setting up time, meal times, or like special dinner dates, or things like this that feel nourishing and nurturing for you. Moving on to the Leo rising and moon. Number 1, this has an impact on your finances and your material possessions. So this is a time where you could have some family assets or shared assets from family matters like inheritance or things like that that need attention, and potentially old opportunities of inheritance coming back, but also just managing the family assets that you do have. And it's a time to improve upon them, like maybe connecting with a CPA. It's around tax season here in the US, and addressing any financial matters and things like a will, even if you're thinking about that, or a will of the family members, important to address at this time. Any material possessions like family heirlooms, home, land, property also could be addressed at this time, and any matters that need to be addressed there. Number 2, reevaluating your financial goals. Also good to consult with a financial advisor at this time with this and look at what you want to build in the long term for your legacy, for your wealth, for your investments and things like that. Number 3, making practical decisions. So not too impractical, not unrealistic, not ungrounded, but thinking of, okay, step by step, what do you want to create? How do you want things to look, especially financially, especially with family, and moving step by step in that direction with a nice strategy and plan. Number 4, budget wisely, and just have, again, a plan for your money. Number 5, investing in long-term security, long-term investments, things like the S&P 500 or maybe some sort of long-term investment that you feel secure with, land, property. Number 6, seeking financial stability. And maybe it's like going through subscriptions to cancel or investments that aren't working to let them go. Investments in general and things for everyone are improving a lot this year. So it's a good year to put extra attention on finances for everybody, but especially for you right now at this time. Number 7, setting financial priorities, and again, just maybe consulting with an advisor for this. Number 8, evaluating your spending habits, anything that could improve there, particularly around family matters as well. Number 9, planning for future financial growth. And number 10, finding satisfaction in your financial achievements. So celebrating the things that you have done and attained and the things that you do have is wonderful at this time as well. Next, we move to the Virgo rising and moon. Number 1, it's a highlight on the sense of self and your personal goals. So this is a very transformative time for you, where you're really finding new levels of your identity, of who you are. Whenever the eclipses happen over the Kendra houses, 1, 4, 7, and 10, these are very significant. And for Virgos, it's happening, as well as Sagittarius, Pisces, and Geminis. And so now this is the time to highlight your sense of personal growth. And like I shared in the recent podcast, I'm a Virgo rising, and I shared about my personal breakthrough, lots of huge realizations that felt like a long time coming for me happened just last week. But also personal goals of like, what do you want to create? Where do you want to be in a few years? What do you envision for your life? This is a good time to evaluate. Number 2, pursuing ambitions and asserting your individuality. So is there something you really want that you maybe have been holding back from? This is the time to go for it. And is there a way of communicating or expressing that you've been not expressing? It's a good time to just be authentic, be yourself, and express. Number 3, focusing on self-improvement, First house is all about the self, where this is happening. Great time for just deepening your understanding of yourself and improving any area of your life at all. Like, just lots of personal growth, health, wealth, relationships, purpose, everything is really up for evaluation. Number four is setting clear intentions for the future. So with all that energy and that potential, now you boil it down to, what is your vision for your health, wealth, relationships, and purpose? Maybe you're in your ideal body with your ideal partner who you love and care about and you feel loved and cared for, and your ideal career where you feel like you're expressed and making great income and doing work you love. Being even more clear, like, what work are you doing? Maybe there's a certain person you want to be dating, or the partner you're already with, or a certain body weight you want to be. Good time to be very clear about those intentions. Number five, seeking personal growth. Going to things that will inspire growth. Yoga classes, trainings, reading books. Number six, embracing self-discovery. And that means making time for this. Like, not always just taking in things, but also listening within. Number seven, reflecting on your personal identity. And a good way to do this is maybe going back to songs you liked, or movies you liked, or journals you wrote, or things that you created in the past, and seeing who you were and now who you've become. Number eight, honoring your inner desires and aspirations, and being true to that, of what is really alive in you. What do you feel really called towards? Number nine, aligning your actions with your personal values. So if you know, like, one of your values is non-harming, and you're doing something that feels like it's not actually good for you, like smoking cigarettes or something, to get an alignment, aligning those actions with your values. The values I come back to a lot are the eight limbs of yoga, the yamas and niyamas. If you want something, if you're looking for something, that can be really helpful, like not harming, not lying, not stealing, appropriate use of your sexual energy, not grasping, cleanliness, contentment, passion, self-study, and surrender to a spiritual power. You know, those are the 10 precepts of the yoga philosophy. And those are the values I live by as best I can. And those may be values that are inspiring to explore as well, and aligning your actions with those. Number 10 is finding empowerment through self-expression. So finding what is true, what really wants to come out in you, and sharing that. Continuing on to the Libra rising and moon. Number one thing to consider this time is impact on your inner world and your emotional well-being. So this is happening over your 12th house of deep spiritual growth, your moksha house. So this is a time where you may feel the sense of transcendence, personal growth, and big insights and realizations from the internal world through meditation, through spiritual practice. And this could greatly improve your emotional well-being. And you may need to let some things go, get away from some things, and create space in your life for this inner work. It's a time to reflect on your past experiences and lessons learned. It's a time for addressing any unresolved emotions and things that need to be expressed and felt. Emotion is energy and motion. And when we block it, it is no longer in motion. Now it is suppressed. So we become blocked and we become eventually depressed. But the Libra energy is very, very considerate of others and may block your own emotions for the well-being of others and the consideration of others. So this is a time to address any unresolved emotions, anger, fear, grief, sadness, anything, happiness, joy even. People often don't think about that as an unexpressed, unresolved emotion, but it can be a celebration. Number four, practicing self-care, yoga, meditation, spiritual practice, taking a bath, going to a spa, getting a massage, these kind of things. Number five, nurturing your inner self, listening within, journaling, meditating. Number six, seeking emotional balance, and this may mean doing things for fun, doing things for work, and balancing that out more. Expressing yourself, listening to others express themselves, being received as much as you receive others. There's sometimes overgiving from the Libra side to others, and you deserve to receive that support as well. Number seven, connecting with your inner peace and finding internal balance and inner happiness and That usually comes from stillness and quiet and doing less, not doing more. It comes from letting things go often, which is very much indicated for you right now. Number 8, healing emotional wounds. And usually this is an inside job. So forgiveness of others for yourself, forgiving others for yourself, not really even to their face, not even necessarily to them or for them, but that if there's anger or resentment or grief holding on towards someone else, that's in your body and maybe likely has little impact on them. They're just kind of going on with their life. So if there is some way you feel wounded by others, then maybe you need to address that with them. But also, a lot of inner work will move a lot. And if you've ever done this, like writing a letter to somebody and then the whole relationship changes without you even actually sending the letter, you know, this kind of thing can be really powerful. Number 9, finding solace in solitude. So as I've been mentioning, so this 12th house, this moksha karaka, this is a great time for meditative practice, solitude practice. Number 10, embracing emotional growth. So being willing to move forward and move on from things of the past and experience new things and try new things. Continuing on, we'll look at Scorpio ascendant and moons for this eclipse. Number 1, focus on friendships and social connections. Great time to be with friends, to be sharing insights with others, to getting insights from others, and just time in social environments. Number 2, strengthening relationships with others in those social environments and maybe having deeper, more meaningful conversations with people close to you. So if you have a fairly close friend, maybe they become a very close friend during this time where you have a deeper conversation, maybe you have a couple hours open in the time to just really drop in with them. Number 3, collaborating on shared goals. It's a great time to work with others and move towards what you want to create in community. Number 4, networking, socializing, going out to events. And on the day of the eclipse, you may feel more internal, but around this time is great to just maybe go out somewhere you don't normally go or try something new or go to some social gathering where you can meet people who are like-minded and have similar interests. Number 5, building community bonds, being out and about in community. And, you know, they say it's not always just who you know, but who knows you that determines a lot of the success we have in lives and in our lives. So to be out and to meet people is not always, you don't always know where that will lead. And, you know, the Scorpio side could use this for manipulation and to try to gain something. But if you do it just really open-ended and for the sake of connection, and because people enliven life and they give you new perspective and add depth, and no matter how shallow you might think someone is, there is some depth in there. And to the Scorpio side, there's always like, no one can match your depth. But if you are curious and you can go very deep with just about anybody, and those can be very important life-changing relationships. Number 6, engaging in group activities, going outside your comfort zone. Number 7, supporting your friends in need. This might be a little more in your comfort zone, noticing if there is a friend around you who could use some extra help and some time to really drop in with them. Number 8, finding joy in social interactions. Number 9, creating meaningful connections, those deeper combos. Number 10, cultivating a sense of belonging because you are wanted and valuable and needed in community. Next, we'll look at Sagittarius ascendant and moon. And of course, this is a Kendra eclipse for you as well in your 10th house. So this is a big, big turning point in your career. Now you may feel the sense of a big career shift is necessary in your public image of like your identity. So much of what we say is like, well, what do? As soon as we meet somebody and then, oh, you know, you're this or you're that. And so there is so much of your image that is connected with career for everybody, but especially at this time, you may be reevaluating, like, well, what am I? And what do you want to say that you are? What feels aligned of like, this is what your career is? It's time to reevaluate and maybe step into a new career. Number 2, focusing on your professional goals. So as your current job and your work align with the long-term goals you have, like if your goal is to make a certain income and your job will never pay that income, it's not aligned. Or it is aligned if it is the case. And if there's a certain way of expressing yourself that is not coming through in your career, and you're not finding time to do it as a hobby, is there a way you could transition at least some of your time into this work that is more aligned? Number three, making progress in a chosen field, even a tiny bit. You know, everything starts small. For a long time, I just did yoga once a day. First it was once a week, then once a day, and then it became every, as much as possible, like multiple hours a day. And then I was just doing yoga all the time, and then eventually teaching yoga. Just one class a week, and then every couple days, and then all the time. You know, everything starts small like this, and any career change or adjustment, it's going to start small. So can you make a little progress right now? Number four, showcasing your skills and expertise. So if you have something you love to do and you're good at it, good time to show it off. Number five, taking on leadership roles. If there's a way that you could step into more leadership and power in your work, or just a little more responsibility, or a little more in the direction of what you want. Number six, seeking recognition for achievements. It's a good time to celebrate your achievements and maybe work with a coach who can see you and acknowledge your successes. Because sometimes with Sagittarius, there's a sense of adventure and fun and exploration of the fire of, okay, more, what else? And sometimes not pausing to say, look at all the things you've already done and how successful you've been. A coach can help with that, or a friend can help with that, or a spouse. Number seven, advancing your career aspirations. So seeking ways that you can move forward in the target, the directions that you want to be moving in. If you're not growing, you're dying, right? So there's always going to be moving in a direction. Number eight, setting ambitious career objectives. And the real point of having a target is not necessarily to always hit the target. You know, the archer is this image of Sagittarius. And you think of hitting a bullseye as the goal, obviously, but it's really just an aim to give us a game to play in life. And if you hit really close to the bullseye, that counts, that's still something. If you hit really far from the bullseye, that's a lesson. You know, okay, where do I need to adjust my objectives? So if you have a really big, ambitious career goal, it's for the sake of the goal and not necessarily that you have to hit it exactly on the bullseye, but that you get close to it, and if you're way off, then something needs to change. And number nine, embracing opportunities for growth. So if you're getting opportunities and it feels like this might be aligned, it's probably worth exploring. If it feels way out of alignment, then no, but usually there's opportunities all around us, and sometimes we're in phases where we need to say no more, sometimes where we need to say yes more, and this may be a good time to explore saying yes more. Number 10, finding fulfillment in your professional success. So it's a good time to just be in that purpose, that sharing of your gifts, that embracing and accepting of your purpose and dharma in the world, of sharing your gifts and celebrating that. We don't want that to be everything, right? That's not always going to fulfill everything, but it can be very fulfilling to just celebrate it. Now, Capricorn ascendant and moon. This eclipse puts a highlight on your beliefs and your philosophical outlook. So you may be reevaluating your beliefs and values of, like, what is really your path and what path you want to focus on. And does it feel aligned, and are you going in the right direction? You might want to explore some new ideas and perspectives and just, like, try some other spiritual paths or some new philosophies or some different YouTube interviews or podcasts and get some different perspective in your life. You might want to expand your horizons in general. Like, this might be literally traveling, going somewhere that you haven't gone before, different horizons, and just see what's out there, see some different perspectives, and you might start to feel a little sort of crusty and old and stuck in your ways if you're not expanding your horizons at this time. Seek spiritual growth. So look for different opportunities to grow spiritually through texts, through trainings, through travel. Broaden your perspective on life and just take on some different ideas, different perspectives. Maybe talk to different teachers, talk to different people who can give you some different insights. Reflect on your core values, and are you aligned with them still? You know, this is an evolving thing. So do you feel like you are in integrity and living with what you value? You might want to question your belief systems, which is always good to test things and see, does this really align still? Is this really true for me now? embrace diversity of thought and maybe take on some different perspectives and different insights, reading different books, going to different trainings, traveling. And of course, within all of that, seeking your inner wisdom through stillness and disciplined practices. And then finally, find meaning in philosophical inquiry through external things, but also very important right now, the internal. And your own inner wisdom is always going to be the ultimate authority. And then setting up your structures around that of what feels aligned and true for you. For Aquarius rising and moon, this eclipse has an impact on your long distance travel, your higher education, and your personal growth and your spiritual path. So you may feel called to go into some new transformative workshop, retreat, training, long distance retreat or something like that, and for your personal growth and explore new sides of yourself. You may want to learn something on a deeper level like astrology or tarot or spiritual work. You may want to explore some new cultures and new experiences. It's a good time for seeking knowledge and wisdom and things that will bring about personal transformation. Good time for broadening your intellectual horizons and exploring new ideas. Planning educational pursuits. Maybe this involves going back to college or going into some sort of certification program or training, or like a yoga training or astrology training or tarot or occult teachings, herbalism, things like this. Embrace diversity of learning and maybe new ideas, new perspectives, new people to learn from. Connect with different belief systems, different ideas, different spiritual paths. Expand your global awareness. A good time for considering and getting involved with global causes and issues. And any way that you can be involved with like global connections with others. And maybe you're connecting and interacting with people around the world and helping them. And seeking personal growth through exploration. And there may be some need for you to explore more in your life, going to someplace new or exploring new ideas. And also with all this, like sharing the knowledge that you do have, because you likely have so much to share, more than you realize, that you could just already never learn anything again and have plenty to share. But this is a good time for this deeper transformational and inner work of what really feels aligned for you. There's also maybe like tantric paths or sexual paths as well, of exploring these deeper expressive parts of yourselves that are more internal that want to come out. And then number 10, finding joy in expanding your knowledge and exploring new ideas or concepts. Like maybe you are really deep into something, but there's a deeper, different aspect you want to explore. Like you're really into astrology, but you're not so familiar with the nakshatra, so you want to go deeper in there. Or you're really familiar with this part of yourself, but you haven't really explored this shadow part of yourself. You want to go deeper. Now, Pisces, ascendant, and moon. This eclipse is a Kendra eclipse for you as well, like the Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius. One of the most life-changing, profound eclipses you can go through is always going to be over the Kendra houses. So this is a big focus on your partnerships and your one-on-one interactions, where you may evaluate these things and see that there are some changes to be made in your partnerships, and your connections with others can be very interesting and inspiring and bring new perspective by having these conversations, getting into deep connection with these people. Number 2, strengthen your relationships with others through conversation, through timeless time together, just having time to connect and kind of be in the flow together. You may want to find more balance in your connections, and maybe there's some connections you feel are giving too much or not receiving in a way that feels right, or you're not spending enough time with these certain friends that do nourish you, and then less time with these friends who aren't nourishing you, or whatever. Just finding more of what feels aligned and balanced in your relationships and connections. More communication, more open with others. Sometimes it may be a little tricky to put into words what you think and feel because of this Piscean nature of being so imaginative and intuitive. But this is a time where you can just let that flow and have these open channels of communication with others. Number 5, resolving conflicts peacefully. And if there is something that needs to be addressed, especially in relationship or marriage, to do this in a way that is thoughtful and not on the days of the eclipses. Collaborate on mutual goals. Find ways to work together towards your visions. Build trust in your relationships through deeper connection and in the flow together. Supporting loved ones, being generous with them, embracing empathy and compassion for others in the process they're in, and also with yourself in the process you're in. And then finding harmony in interpersonal dynamics. And where is the peace in all this? Where is the connection? And there may be that you feel like there's a way that is really authentic to you, that's important for you to be authentic to yourself. But how does that relate to them and others, and how can you find harmony with them and their way of relating and their way of communicating? So you find a way that you both can feel expressed and move towards a shared vision and direction and flow together. So that's our look at the 12 signs. Again, if you want to know how this affects you more personally, you can get a one-to-one reading with me. Go to quietmindastrology.com and schedule a life alignment reading where we'll look at your dashas as well and the other transits happening for you right now and the full year ahead for you. And then also you can share this podcast with a friend if you think it might be helpful, especially in the eclipse season. A lot of crises can come up and a lot of big changes. So it's helpful to have some perspective on what's happening and to know your rising and moon sign. Get the free Vedic birth chart on the website. So listen for your rising and moon, and listen for your friends' risings and moons as well, so you know what's going on and how to work with it and navigate these transitional times that we're in with the eclipses. So thank you for listening, and look forward to sharing more with you next time on the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast.